Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell, and I'm sitting here with Sarah Medjooli, and we're very excited, stupidly excited, to be sitting across from Leanne Moriarty, who's come in to talk about Nine Perfect Strangers, which is, and Sarah and I have been reading about and talking about it, is so much bloody fun. Leanne, welcome to the Booktopia podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I am a little bit starstruck, I have to admit. I've told everyone I'm meeting the Queen today.
Please stop it. That's very
I'm wearing
lovely.
More makeup than I normally wear, Leanne.
For a podcast.
I certainly am, because one of the first profiles of me ever done talked about how I wasn't wearing any makeup, and I was wearing makeup.
How rude.
I know I put a lot of effort into doing my makeup and doing my hair, and the article describes me as she looks like she's run her fingers through her hair and she's not wearing any makeup. That was the best, as good as it gets.
Who are they? Let's find them.
Now that Leanne is actually running the whole world, she's had them, they're no longer on the record.
Quietly removed. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah.
Been taken care of.
Yeah,
that's
right. So I'd like to just jump in, because we can't really go into too much detail around the book,
but
I'd like you to give us a kind of a, what your version of the book is, how you tell someone about your book.
Yes, I'm never very good at that, but it's a book about nine perfect strangers who go to a health resort. They've signed up for a 10-day retreat, a transformation, total body and mind transformation. So they're thinking it's, mindfulness and meditation and, stress relief and weight loss. But it turns out to be a rather different experience than what they thought they'd signed up for.
Yeah, and we know that. Sarah and I read it around the same time, and so we're both doing the gasps at the same time and talking about it. And because this is one of the reasons why we love this job, was we get the books so early, and
yes.
We're able to be ahead of everyone out there, and all the world is waiting for Leanne, we've got it in our hands. it's a magical experience. And each of us, because I think there's four or five now that have read it here.
Yeah, and there's a queue behind every, I've got one of these precious proof copies in my hand, and when I got it, I went to Instagram with it, and everyone I know was like,
really?
And everyone in the office is like, I'm next.
That's nice to hear. Although the proof copy always has little things that get changed. I think it's still got a bulldog wagging its tail, or the tail swooshing across the grass, and a bulldog doesn't have a tail.
Oh.
It's picked up at the... Well, not long enough to swoosh across the grass, so it's a collie now.
Isn't that funny?
Yes,
you wouldn't think of that.
I certainly didn't catch it.
No. It's all the little... That's why I'm so grateful for editors, all those things.
That stuff is... The final proof, like you get an editor, you get a publisher, then editor, or agent, publisher, editor, and then that final weird person that comes at the end and picks up all the mistakes that all these brilliant people have missed.
I know.
It's astounding.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really matters, because people come up in the signing lines and tell me,
oh, great,
your freesias don't grow in April. But they look at you, they want you to explain, they don't want to say you've made a mistake, they want an explanation, because they're so believe. That's what I find interesting. They so believe in the fictional world. It's not like freesias don't grow in April. It's say, why does it say that? Because that can't
What's the symbolism?
Yes, can you just explain to me how it happened? And I have to say, it's just a mistake. Sorry.
I always take comfort, because I remember reading a letter that was sent to George Eliot around Middlemarch around the mistake she made with the legal thing.
Everyone's
got a free
pass. Yes, I'll start quoting that.
So we first got to interview back when Big Little Lies, and by the time that my brain's gone.
Are you looking for
Truly Madly mm-hmm. Guilty came out.
Yeah.
It was like your whole world had changed, and we thought, wow, you can't get any bigger than this. You did. your world has, since the TV show of Big Little Lies came out, it must be madness. For a writer who needs time to sit and quietly write a book, and writing a book does take time, being in the centre of that storm must have been difficult to manage. I can't imagine.
And how in that storm have you written this book?
Yeah, how in that storm have you written this book?
Well, I guess in a way, don't take that much notice of the storm. So, for example, I was invited out to the set Well, it is true that writing season two of Big Little Lies did put me behind with Nine Perfect Strangers, but then I didn't go out to the set. So a lot of friends are really cranky with me, saying, this is all wasted on you, Leanne. I would do so much better at this. Because I'd already been to the set for season one, and I was busy writing Nine Perfect Strangers, so I focused on the book. So I sacrificed myself for my art. I'd like readers to know that.
Nice. So, well, yeah, I'm very grateful.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk to AJ Finn, who wrote The Woman in the Window.
Yes.
And his sort of mentor is Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl.
Oh, yes,
and
yep.
He had her experience of getting sucked into the Hollywood vortex.
Yes.
And he felt the pressure. He felt it coming on him because there's been a movie made of A Woman in the Window.
Yeah.
And he pushed it back and he escaped to write his book because he's yes. like... She hasn't written a book since she got sucked into Hollywood.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
It must be so scary, isn't it?
But I think part of it is being on the other side of the world, so I can, you know, it's a...
Got some good distance.
Yes, that's right. And I just say, well, I can't. And it's all exciting and, of course, I'm so grateful for it all, but it's also, to me, the biggest thrill is still between me and a reader.
Mm.
There's what I love about there's a certain aspect in this because you've got a writer going.
Oh my gosh, all the meta stuff is so good.
I'm glad you like that part.
It's just wonderful. Like, it's the comments about publishing, the comments about the way readers come and go, and then all the comments even. You know, we can't really kind of go into it.
It's really you've got to be so careful to talk about.
Yeah,
but. I will say that was one of my favourite characters, Frances.
And, oh, good.
But, you know, you kind of fall in love with all of them. And there's nine, and that's like a tall order for, you know, you wouldn't think that you would feel equally for all of them. But,
oh, that's
you know, you
good.
Really end up
I did try to because I thought I always get into trouble for having too many characters. It's a criticism of my book. So I tried really hard to bring it to seven, and because seven would have been, you know, seven strangers would have been nice, but I couldn't.
Think?
I know. It wasn't possible.
I'm glad you did it.
But the thing that really stands out about your writing, and the thing I'm surprised that anyone these days would say that to you, because the real great characteristic of any Leanne book is how defined these characters are, and to exactly the word usage they have, like the whole thing. And so these people coming together, are sort of thrown together quite quickly in the first 10 chapters or 5 or 6 chapters, and we know exactly who they all are. There's no chance that someone's going to say something, and we have to look at said Frances.
Okay, yeah, you always know wonderful. Who you're with.
Yeah.
But the great thing is they don't know each other, and so you get to see them having mistaken opinions of each other's, yeah, and then slowly working through that, and like it's just beautiful. I'm really in love with it, and I'm literally looking forward to reading it again. And yeah. I only just read it a short while ago.
Oh, good.
And that's the one thing that keeps coming up is how much fun people have. With
yes.
Yeah, you know, and the enjoyment of it, and that.
It's also quite heartbreaking. Like,
yeah, well, I've definitely got.
I mean, I cried, but I also laughed a lot. And, like, I don't think this is too spoilery to say, I'll keep it really vague, but,
yeah.
You know, we work in an office and there's, like, a section of the book that has caused endless joy for us, which is to do with corporate speak.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It is so funny.
And it's so funny.
That's good because it's been a long time since I've been in the corporate world, so I wasn't sure if I
it's
was
all still
bit,
alive.
Is it? I was a bit out of date with that, so
it
that's good
so
to hear.
Awesome.
We just made one of the people read it just then, and they were like, going, what?
Really?
Yeah, a person who's maybe guilty of using some of those phrases.
Oh, really?
And he was like, oh, I've got a few new ones to try.
Yeah. So, yeah, it must be... I mean, you're now getting out there and meeting so many of your readers, and you're running people like us who are sort of going on about your books. It must be really wonderful to come out of that little hole that you're in and running your book, and then have this experience being fed back to you in those signing lines and those visits and the like.
Except when people point out mistakes.
Yes, yes. Well, it's exactly, because it's still very early days, so I'm still in that really needy, neurotic where I'm a bit trembly hearing feedback. So, yeah, it's really special.
The only thing that what gets me with people who hit the stratosphere of success. It's like it sort of draws reviewers from all different fields and all different places.
And all bets are off because there's a perception that if you're that big,
it won't hurt. Yes, that's true.
And you get the literary reviewer from the New Yorker coming in to review a book that they would not normally review. They just want to get in the spotlight.
Yes.
And that stuff drives me insane. Like it makes me so mad, because when you do see a bad review of some of these really successful books, you can see that they're not the audience.
Yes.
And we know as booksellers, we know as readers, there are thousands of kinds of books. There are thousands of kinds of audiences. Mm. And if you give the review to the right kind of person and they review it within context,
yes,
fine.
Yes, exactly.
But out of context,
get
stuffed.
Yes. Well, and I guess I sort of, because she is a romance novelist, the Frances in the book, I sort of talk about that a little bit. So I'm making fun of it all in the...
Yeah.
That horrible, right. Yeah. It's right at the beginning, so we can talk about that.
She's such a great character. And we start with her, right?
We do, yes. And my husband just read it and he said, you do realise that she is exactly the same age as you will be when the book comes out, so everybody's going to think that it's you. And I said, I know, that's why I made her completely charming, so that people will think it's me.
She is so charming and so, instantly likable.
Well, good, good. Because she's not actually, I'm not as nice or as sweet
I don't know. I think that's debatable.
See, it's working. People do think it's
I'm just going to plant her on the character of the person I'm seeing right in front of me. It's drawing up your own myth.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
She's very flirtatious, though, Frances. She's sort of with everyone that she meets. Yes, she's entering into a little game with them.
Yes.
And I loved that about her. She's a joy to read.
She was a lot of fun to write. I'm going to miss her. Oh, I always do that when I start a new book because I don't plan my books and I don't even plan my characters. So I always miss my old characters when I start writing a new book because my new characters feel wooden and I don't like them as much. So I know when I start the next one, I'll think, where's Frances? I miss her.
Did you ever get when you draw these characters up, each one could wander off in their own novels and be the heroes of their own novels separated from these people. Do you feel the temptation to wander off and create another world for Frances to enter into?
I'd be cool if you did that, by the way.
Would you? I guess when I wrote season 2 for Big Little Lies, that's the first time I've ever done anything close to a sequel. my friend Diane Blacklock always says, who's an author, always says... when readers would ask her that question, she'd say, but then I'd have to put them all through another, I put them through so much to write the story. I can't do it again to them. So
I've had their journey come to a good place.
Yes, that's right. So I don't think so.
Can we talk about the screenplay of the Big Little Lies?
Yeah, I wanted to ask how strange it was to continue the story of those characters in a totally different format.
It was strange. And I did change things from my own book, so I changed the backstory of one character to work with season 2. I make a point of saying that so that if any of the reviews say, oh, this was so much better than in the book, I want to say, yes, I changed my own book. But it was fun because one of the hardest things as a novelist is getting your characters from room to room. So with writing this, I could just say, this is happening, and could just be all dialogue. So I just wrote it all in present tense, just scene after scene after scene.
Have you ever written a screenplay before? Is this
No, I had in my corporate days, I wrote, and I remember mentioning this actually to Nicole when I first met her about how one of the highlights of my corporate life was writing a screenplay for a corporate video for the Australian Capital Gains Tax Reporter, and the lady from the Sultana brand ad said my lines. And I'm sure Nicole must have gone back to that man in Hollywood and said, she's going to be really easy to please. Writing that capital gains tax video was such a thrill.
I, I just want to bring in the fact that the Nicole you're speaking of is just happens to be Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, yes, that's right.
We're just going to, that's right.
Telling the story. Sorry, I think that's a name drop so much as an awesome life.
Thank you.
No, I mean, having that experience and being forced as a creative writer to revisit, to come up with, and because there's an end, like in your book, there's an end, in the show, there's an end, and you know, the massive success of it forces you to go conceive another story based on this, which to me frightens me as a writer.
It was good fun, but I must admit, at the end, I did think, "Where's my book?" It did actually make me realise that I'm a novelist, and I like to have the book at the end. So I'm glad I did it for the experience, and I can't wait to see it. It'll be, and of course, writing the role for Meryl Streep will be a career highlight, equal with the lady from the Sultana brand and the capital gains tax corporate video.
Whatever she is, she's just.
but I was. It was such a thrill to be then writing Nine Perfect Strangers again. I like writing books.
Did you, having that experience when writing Nine Perfect Strangers, did you have actors in your head this time? Was it, or did
you
able to get rid of them?
Yes, I wanted to put it all out of my mind. I've always thought that's a mistake to start writing like that. And because all of my books, I always think there's so much internal dialogue that I think they could never. How could they possibly make a film of it? So I don't want to start writing, thinking of the eventual screenplay. I think that would be a mistake.
Well, I don't think. I mean, it's weird because, and I don't know how you must feel about this as the creator of these works, but as a reader and a watcher, I have clear delineations between my experience reading Big Little Lies, which I feel I was fortunate to do before the show.
Yes.
So they're just really separate from me. Like, they're both great, but it's kind of like a cover of your favourite song, right? So
yes.
I can remember the book, and the book is the way it is, and then the show is like this sort of same but slightly different thing. But how is it for you?
I think it's actually, excuse me, exactly the same for me.
Oh, cool.
That I think of the book and I think of my characters in the book and then I think of the series. And I see, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman, and I see the wonderful, their translation.
It's like a variation on a theme.
I feel that because it's set in the US... I felt like I was a spy on Neighbours when I read Big Little Lies, because they're just around the corner and they're all there. And it was so, in my mind, it was so Australian. And there were the universal bits in there that you could pick up and move to the US.
And in a way, I think for me it was good that it was in the US, because then I felt detached from it. So I wasn't thinking, this is exactly... I remember with 50 Shades of Grey that... apparently the author was saying the fabric of the genes should be for Christian, should be such and such.
That's intense.
but I think once you started with that, where would you stop? Mm. So that allowed me to completely step back and just enjoy it.
Yeah. Are you nervous? Because I know the film rights for Nine Perfect Strangers have already been sold.
Mm.
Is it nerve-wracking thinking what will happen, or are you, having gone through it once, you're like excited?
No, I think I'm just excited with the process again, because for me the process is just pure pleasure, because to drop Nicole's name again, Nicole and the producers and Bruna Papandrea, who's an Australian producer, and Per Sari, who's Nicole's producing partner, they've become friends and they just kept me involved in it, but in such a fun way. So for me, this is just a wonderful perk of the job. And Big Little Lies was a pleasure from start to finish, without actually having to do anything, just enjoying it from afar.
Well, you wrote the book.
Yeah, that's right. But for me, it was just that glittery world being a tiny part of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be exactly the same with Nine Perfect Strangers. So it's just...
I'd love to see these characters on screen. I think it could be fascinating.
Leanne, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. It's been an absolute delight. Now, as we said before, we both really love this book, and we want everyone to read it. And we're sure to see the beaches of Australia just lined with this white cover.
Thank you.
Yeah, the sales of all your books just have not stopped on Booktopia. They just keep going.
We were looking up sales of your backlist, and we were just like, oh my God, thank God you exist. Really? We might be out of business.
It's just marvellous. So congratulations on all the success, and congratulations on this particular book. This is marvellous.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And you can get hold of, as we just said, all of Vian's books on booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.